wealth management, banking, and capital markets. Learn more at lifewellplan.com. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. From the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness. On the web at melvilletrust.org. And from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR.
Vice President Joe Biden here. Now, I asked the president recently what I could do to help the administration, and he said, Joe, try not to speak in public. But I want to assure the American people that listening to the Capitol steps will not set off any alarms at the NSA.
Every porn site break, Instagrams you take, I'll be watching you.
So join me in listening to the Capitol Steps 4th of July edition of Politics Takes a Holiday on this public radio station.
Friday morning at 10 on AM 580.
In the weather forecast, sunny skies today, the high 78, mostly clear tonight, the low 55, sunny tomorrow, the high around 80. Sunny skies outside, 65 degrees at Willett Airport, 67 at Decatur, 71 at Friends Plaza in Urbana.
NPR's business news begins with BMW looking south. The German automaker has announced plans to spend $1 billion on a new factory in Mexico. BMW says the plant, its first in Mexico, will employ about 1,500 people and produce up to 150,000 cars a year. BMW's only other North American factory is in Spartanburg, South Carolina. This spring, BMW said it will invest $1 billion in that plant as well to increase its production capacity to 450,000 cars by the end of 2016. Now, at the World Cup in Brazil, the stadiums, the hotels, the beaches have been packed. The games have sure been entertaining, nail-biting in many cases. Let's remember, though, before the tournament kicked off, there were a lot of complaints in Brazil about the cost of hosting the cup. Unfortunately, major international sporting events don't pay for themselves. South Africa hosted the last World Cup and spent billions on infrastructure, some of which has been barely used since then. But NPR's Anders Kelto reports that South Africa was not left entirely empty-handed. In fact, it even made some new friends.
For the 2010 World Cup, Cape Town built a brand new soccer stadium right in the heart of the city. It sort of looks like a spaceship. It's round, there's this silver mesh going around the outside, and the top is kind of wavy. Like a Pringle. I recently went down to the stadium area and bumped into Tayengwa Tsopo, a waiter in a nearby restaurant. He said he walks through this area almost every day.
It's a very quiet road, actually. Hardly meet people around here.
And the stadium? Is there usually like a lot of action at the stadium?
When it's on a match day, it's very busy around here, but it's like, as you can see, a white elephant right now.
A white elephant. It's expensive, but isn't very useful. The stadium hosts a few soccer matches and a couple of concerts each year, but for the most part, it just sits here, empty. And it costs several million dollars a year to maintain. Stefan Szymanski is an economist at the University of Michigan who studies large sporting events like the Olympics and the World Cup.
Hosting major events like the World Cup does very little for the national economy.
But earlier this year, Szymanski was looking at data from the 2010 World Cup, and he noticed something unusual. Something he hadn't expected to see. And he told me where I could find it.
How are you?
Okay, good.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Where are you guys from?
I'm from Guatemala and they're from El Salvador.
That's Luis Mendizabal. I met him and his family at Cape Town's waterfront area. It's basically the city's tourist mecca. There's a port with a shopping mall and outdoor restaurants, even a Ferris wheel. Mendizabal said they had come to South Africa to celebrate their granddaughter Isabella's 15th birthday, her quinceañera.
I better talk to the birthday girl. So it was your idea to come here?
Yes.
Okay. And when did you start wanting to come to South Africa?
One of my best friends already came here, and she said it was incredible.
That friend and her family had come for the 2010 World Cup. Isabella said she was surprised to learn that Cape Town is actually a developed, modern city.
What did you imagine it like?
small buildings, I don't know, small airport.
It turns out that Isabella is part of the strange trend that Stefan Szymanski, the sports economist, had noticed. The number of Latin Americans visiting South Africa is now more than double what it was before the World Cup, about 120,000 a year. Szymanski says there hasn't been the same jump in tourists from countries like Germany or France, but he says there's a reason for that.
These are countries where people have always gone to South Africa, and people in those countries would already know if they were interested in visiting South Africa. And somebody coming back from the World Cup saying they had a wonderful time probably wouldn't change their mind about it.
Szymanski says this boost in Latin American tourists doesn't come close to covering the costs of the World Cup, but it does show that hosting the event can change the way some people see your country. I met up with the Mendizabal family for breakfast before they left Cape Town. They told me about visiting museums, seeing penguins, going to the beauty salon, and Isabella, the granddaughter, was especially excited about visiting Cape Point, a scenic peninsula.
It was amazing. We loved it.
She said they walked along a rocky cliff, high above the ocean, and even saw some wild baboons. That's when Luis, her grandfather, played a little trick on her and her sister.
They were afraid of seeing the baboons and all this stuff, and they were walking. And I just go behind them and grab their legs or pinch their legs.
Did it work? Did it scare you?
Yes. Is that, it really feels like someone, not my grandpa, is grabbing me like a baboon.
So could the same thing happen in Brazil? Could tourists from, say, Africa or the Middle East start going to Rio in bigger numbers because of the World Cup? Economist Stefan Szymanski says maybe. It depends on how people see Brazil now. And if the World Cup changes their mind. Andres Kelto, NPR News, Cape Town.
And our last word in business on this July 4th, beef.
Good beef for hungry people. Beef to make them strong, make them grow.
That is John Wayne in the 1948 film Red River, championing the benefits of this backyard barbecue staple. As millions of Americans fire up the grill this holiday weekend, chances are you're throwing some burgers on there. This 4th of July, though, there is something different about that burger.
For most people, this is going to be the most expensive hamburger that they've eaten in their life.
That's Joe Doe. He's an economics analyst at TheStreet.com, and he says beef prices are soaring because of the ongoing drought.
Cattle don't go to feed until they're about 800 pounds. In other words, before that, they're just grazing on pasture land. And so when there is drought, of course, they're not getting as fat. Because of this, we've had more heifers be held back as we're trying to catch up the supply after losing a couple of years to these droughts.
Now, according to the USDA, a pound of ground beef now costs almost 50 cents more than it did last year. If you really want to save money, Doe says, pick pork or chicken instead, and just try to make it sound cool when you say that is a tasty chicken sandwich. That's the business news on Morning Edition from NPR News. Happy 4th of July. I'm David Green.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the investment firm of Raymond James, wealth management, banking, and capital markets. Learn more at lifewellplan.com. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. From the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness. On the web at melvilletrust.org. And from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR.
Hi, I'm Diane Noland, host of Mid-American Gardener on WILL-TV. This week I'll be joined by guest panelists Randy Thornton, Marianne Metz, and David Robson. We'll offer advice for the summer gardening season, and we'll be answering your calls and emails live on the air. Join us for Mid-American Gardener Thursday night at 7 on WILL-TV or listen Saturday morning at 6:30 on AM 580.
We'll be right back.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3, Urbana.
Good morning. Many people say the conflict in Ukraine between the government and pro-Russian rebels won't be solved using force, which makes you wonder why Ukraine's president declared an end to a ceasefire. We'll seek an answer on Morning Edition from NPR News. Coming up, we'll hear why a visit to South Korea by China's president is being seen as a rebuke to North Korea. And we'll go to Laos, where plans to build dams on the Mekong River have pitted environmentalists and neighboring countries against the government there. I'm David Green. StoryCorps today brings us the voices of two Chicago firefighters, a father and son talking about passing the torch in a dangerous career. And on this Friday, July 4th, we bring you voices from the National Mall here in Washington. A Morning Edition tradition, the reading of the Declaration of Independence. And the news is next.